Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the basics of salvation here in just a minute. But before we do that, we want to just give you a brief update on what's going on over here in Africa. I'm coming to you from Kenya today, and we've been having good rains. Our fall crops look very good, our maize, beans, and groundnuts. We've got a lot of different crops growing out there on about 3 acres. And so we're very happy and thankful for the rain. And we have a crusade, as I spoke during the prayer, we have a crusade planned in Arusha, Tanzania, coming up the 10th through the 13th of November. And so keep that in your prayers. We're going to be traveling there by air and by bus. And so keep that in your prayers. We are looking for a great outpouring of the Spirit in Tanzania. And this is a beautiful region of Tanzania. It sits right at the base of Mount Kilimanjaro, a big highest peak in Africa, about 20,000 feet up. And also Arusha is the gateway to the Serengeti, the big wildlife preserve in northern Tanzania. So it's a tourist city, and also many Maasai there, people who came from the Maasai area, the Ngorongoro area of Tanzania. And so we're looking forward to going there and speaking and preaching the Word of God to the people of Arusha, Tanzania. Well, today we're going to be talking about the basics of salvation, and this is a very important subject, a critical subject. Some of you may not know if you're saved. Some of you have question marks about your salvation. If your life were to end today, you would not know for sure where your eternal home would be. And so we would like to clear that up. And you can know from the Word of God, you can know for sure if you are saved. You don't have to have questions. You don't have to have doubt. You can have peace here in your days. You can have peace knowing that if your life ended, you would be sitting with Jesus Christ in heaven and with your family members who knew Jesus, with the saints of old, all the people who have accepted Jesus over the centuries. And so you can have that certainty, and you can have that peace that passes all understanding if you know for sure if you are saved. Well, we're going to start in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, and some of you may recognize some of these scriptures. It's part of a gospel tract called the Roman Road, and there's a few basic, about four basic components of the Roman Road. And the first one is that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we talked 2 weeks ago about the fall of man. Adam and Eve in the garden had perfect bliss. They had perfection in the garden. God talked with them, spoke with them, walked with them. But because Eve gave in to the lies of the devil, and she ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she took that fruit and she ate of it, and then she handed it to Adam, and he also took a bite of that fruit. And so they became knowledgeable of evil. They took the knowledge of evil that they were not intended to take. And so they became not Adam and Eve in perfection, but Adam and Eve, the fallen human race. And so we fall under that category. We fall in the footsteps of Adam and Eve, the fallen of the human race. And so sin is a part of our life. Sickness is a part of our life. Corruption is a part of our life. This is a fallen world, and so we see all kinds of evil. We see all kinds of corruption. We see all kinds of diabolical, demonic things that we were not intended to see. But because we live in a fallen world, things happen that are very evil. Things happen that are very diabolical. There's all kinds of sin, and we just have to deal with it on a daily basis. And so in Romans chapter 3, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, verse 23. Paul says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And verse 24, "Being justified freely," in other words, we have salvation offered to us, at no cost by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we talked last week about the plan of redemption, which is basically the salvation plan. But God knew before the foundation of the world that man would have the propensity, the probability, and he would eventually fall when placed in the garden and given a temptation, that he would eventually fall. And so God knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Time does not confine God. He's not confined by the boundaries of time like we are. And so he knows the beginning from the end. He knew man would fall. And so he had a plan of redemption in place. And that plan was to send his very own son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to live as a man and to become the sacrifice, to become the ransom, the payment for our sin. And so we know that our sin has been paid for, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But we know that our sin can be paid for and has been paid for by Jesus Christ going to the cross and shedding his perfect, precious blood for us on the cross, that our payment can be made not by ourselves, but by Jesus Christ. Well, Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not short or shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear dull that he cannot hear. But your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perversity." And so the Lord knows that every single person is a sinner. He's not shocked by your sin. He's not shocked by my sin. He knows every single person has the opportunity and the propensity and the probability and the certainty to sin. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and all have sinned and fallen short. And so you are in that category. I'm in that category. Some people think they're not worthy of salvation. They're not worthy of God's plan of redemption because they think their sin is too great. They don't think that they can stand before God with any righteousness, and of their own, that is true, of their own righteousness, they can't. But because of the blood of Jesus, we can stand before God. And we can know the righteousness of God because of the payment that Jesus has made and the sacrifice, the atonement of his blood. That payment has been made so that we can then be in right standing with God. Well, God's arm is long. He can reach people in any place on the earth, even in the fields of Africa, even in the remote rural villages of Africa, all over the worlds in Asia and Antarctica. It doesn't matter where people are. God can reach them because they're on his earth that he created. And so he can reach them. And his ear is not too dull that it cannot hear. And so when you cry out to God, when you speak to God, when you pray, God hears. And he sends his angels in response to your prayer. He sends his angels in response to your cry. And so your salvation then is not of yourself. It is an act of God. It is by God's grace. So you come to God, no matter what you've done in the past, you come to God and you present yourself before him in prayer. You present yourself before him in repentance. That is to turn away and say, "I'm going in another direction from my sin. I'm going in another direction from my bad choices of the past." And beloved, it doesn't matter, again, as I said, it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. God's plan of redemption is sufficient for you. And you just have to get over your shame. You have to get over your guilt. That may take some time. That may take some time to work through that and believe that God loves you enough that your past sins, your past failures, all the things that you have done that are not worthy of salvation, all those things can be wiped away and covered by the blood of Jesus. So you are saved by grace. It's not your plan of redemption. It's not your good works. It's not your intellect. It's not what you've done recently. Maybe some of you have never been great sinners. Maybe you've lived a pretty upright, moral, and good life of character and integrity. That's great. That's wonderful. You've been a good citizen. You've worked hard all your life, but you may not be saved. So your salvation doesn't depend on your good works on the earth. Your salvation doesn't depend on what a great citizen you've been, what a good family man you've been, what a good, outstanding, upright person you've been. You're in the same category as the person who has been doing drugs, the person who's been a prostitute, the person who's been a liar and a stealer and a swindler. You are in that same category with them because you're not saved by how good of a person you have been. You are saved by grace. And so that leads us to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. This is also the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our sin or dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved." And then verse 6, Ephesians 2, verse 6, "And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And then jump on to verse 8, and this is the key verse here regarding salvation. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And that gift, beloved, is Jesus' blood. That gift is when Jesus went to the cross. He did it for you. He did it for me. He sacrificed. He laid himself down because he was an obedient son. Even to the point of going to the cross, he was an obedient son. And so it is a gift of God. Jesus' blood was given to God, taken into the Holy of Holies in heaven itself, and presented to God. And so that gift then is what guarantees your salvation. And verse 9, Ephesians 2, "And this gift is not of works, lest anyone should boast." So you can't boast about how you came to the Lord Jesus. You can give a testimony, yes, but you cannot boast about what a great person you were, because the goodness that you have is like filthy rags in the eyes of God. The goodness that any man has, any man, even the best of men and the best of women, that goodness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. And so you cannot boast. And God planned it that way, that man would have no opportunity to boast, that he would have to accept salvation through grace and understand without the grace of God, we have no opportunity for salvation. Without the grace of God, we cannot come before God and stand before God in right standing. It is not something that we are able to do. So if you come to that place where you understand that you need a Savior, if you come to that place where you understand that it is the grace of God calling to you, it is the grace of God inviting you, and the Holy Spirit wooing you, it is that place that you have the opportunity then to speak with your mouth and to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to confess what has happened in your heart, and to believe with your mind, with your heart, and then speak it so that other people can know what you believe, other people can know what God has done in your life. Other people can know that you have humbled yourself before God. And so the confession is very, very important. And so if you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord before men in a public setting, it doesn't have to be a big church, it doesn't have to be 100 people, 200 people. No, it can be one or two people. But if you have never done that, you need to do that. Make a confession of your faith in front of somebody. Speak it, because our mouth is the words of our mouth represent the abundance coming out of our heart, the words of our mouth, then speak what is in our heart. And so the Apostle Paul, again, is speaking here in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, Paul says, that we preach. And then in verse 9, chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so your confession speaks what is in your heart. And so what happens in your heart first regarding salvation, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and convicts us of our sin. And so we start to understand that the only way we can have peace, the only way we can have right standing with God, the only way we can have righteousness in God's eyes is to come before him, confess our sin, repent of our sin, turn from our wicked ways, and then confess, speak with our mouth that this is what has happened in our life. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When we preach at the Crusades, we have a big platform there, many, many people, and at the end of the preaching, usually lasts about an hour, at the end of the preaching, we invite people to come forward. We invite people to move from wherever they're standing, come to the front, come to the platform, and then when all of the people have come, we ask them a question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Is this what you believe? And we ask them to open their mouth and speak. And they say, yes. Do you believe that he went to the cross, that he shed his perfect, precious blood on the cross, and that his blood covers your sin? His blood is the payment for your sinful life, and that you have to confess that you believe that his payment is sufficient to bring you into right standing with God. And we ask them that, and they say, yes. And then I ask them, do you believe that Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of God to make intercession for your life, to be an advocate for your life before the one true living God? And then I ask them to confess and say yes to that also. And so Paul goes on to say then in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so starts in the heart, doesn't start when you go down into the baptism water, doesn't start when the preacher asks you the question. It has already taken place in your heart, so you know how you will answer when the preacher asks you a question. What do you believe? It has to start in the heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of your heart come the passions of life, the things that you love, the things that you care about, the things that you're willing to sacrifice for. So out of your heart then comes the desire to walk with the Lord Jesus. Out of your heart comes the desire to confess and speak his name. And you don't know where that may lead you. It may lead you to a martyr's death. It may lead you to be a missionary in a foreign country. It may lead you to be a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. You don't know where that confession may lead you, but it is the first step in your salvation walk. After the conviction comes in your heart, then you must confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And then Paul goes on to say in Romans 10, verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And that is a Old Testament scripture from Isaiah 28:16. For whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And then in Romans 10, verse 13, Paul says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, beloved, I hope You are calling upon the name of the Lord as you're listening to me today. I hope that you know that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you will not be put to shame and you will be saved. If you've never done that, today is your opportunity. Today is your time of redemption, your day of new birth or being born again, as we say. And so also in the book of Matthew, the confession is discussed here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." There is a judgment coming. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20 in verse 11, the Great White Throne Judgment. Those who have never confessed Jesus, and beloved, everybody gets an opportunity to confess Jesus. Everybody is presented with a time in their life when they are given an opportunity to either confess or deny Jesus Christ. Some people, their pride just won't let them do it. Other people are steeped in pagan religions, idolatry, and all kinds of false doctrines of many, many different kinds of religions all over the world. And so their pride and their idolatry, their pagan beliefs will not allow them to confess. But every single person is given an opportunity to confess. And so when people stand before Jesus at that great white throne judgment, they are already condemned because they will not be redeemed at that point. They are already condemned because they did not confess Jesus as their Lord when they were given an opportunity to do so. And so they will be cast into the lake of fire, tells us that in Revelation chapter 20. They will be cast into the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. And so that will be their eternal abode, their eternal resting place. And so when you make your confession, then you are saved. And the Lord, in the Lamb's Book of Life, your name is written there. And if you never deny Jesus the rest of your life, if you don't get into a place where you deny Jesus, then your eternal security is secure. Your eternal salvation is secure. Your place in heaven is secure. And so that is the place where you want to have your name written this day, today, in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, Matthew 10, verse 38, Jesus said, "And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." And verse 39, "He who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And that's what happens when you receive Jesus Christ. You deny yourself, you put down your own ideas, you put down your own pride, you put down your own plans and your own self-made destiny for your life, and you say, "Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to follow your plan for my life. I want to submit to you, to your leadership, to your direction, and I want to find the life that you have for me. I'm going to lose my life." Jesus said, "He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me." In other words, when you receive the message from the messenger, Jesus said, "You're going to receive me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." And so you're going to receive God when you receive Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You're going to receive me. He who receives me receives him who sent me." Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." That's John 14:6. Jesus is the way to the Father. You may think you know God. You may consider yourself a spiritual person. You may think you know God and understand God, but beloved, you will not be in God's heaven. You will not be in eternity with God unless you go through Jesus Christ. He is the doorway to heaven. He is the doorway to God. He is the doorway to your eternal security. You have to accept Jesus and the blood sacrifice that he made for you, that he paid for your sin. And so, beloved, I hope that is you today, that you know that you know that you're saved. I hope that you have accepted Jesus. If you never have, find someone, a pastor, an elder, somebody from a church who can receive a confession of faith from you. If you can't find anybody there, email me and we can talk about it over the phone, that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that you know for sure that you have confessed him, that you are saved. You can email me pureprairie@hotmail.com and we can talk about your salvation. We can get you some materials to start you on your Christian walk, start you on your way, so that you can know that you can know that you are saved and you can start to work for the kingdom and make your days count for the kingdom of God. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. I pray that you would help support this ministry. I pray that you are receiving a blessing by listening to these radio broadcasts. And we would like to hear from you today. Sit down, write us out a check. Let us know you're listening. Give us a note of encouragement, a note of support. And if you would do that today, we would love to help you with a book that we have, The Prophecies Over America, and we could help get that book into your hand if we hear from you today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.